Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Dalet. We begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Hoy Sugavoya Me Esrim Amma. Suppose his Sukkah was above 20 Amma, in which case it's possible. Ubalam Mata. And he'd like to be Mamait that Goiva, to bring it down a bit. Actually, to lift the floor closer up to the schach, to bring it within 20 amma. How's he going to do it? Bikarim uksosois, by adding some pillows, mattresses, or perhaps blankets, linenware, placing them on the floor below. And by doing so, he'd like to lift the floor level a bit, bring it closer to the schach within 20. Does that work? Loi have miyit. It's ineffective. Why? Explains Rashi, two lines from the bottom. Hoy so gevoye me'eshrim. The Gemara now will present a long list of short halachos relating to Sukkah. Shel kol bnei ha'yeshiva, which were presented by the bnei ha'yeshiva, shahayu b'medrashoy, shel Rav Ashi, shel sidra Gemara, presented by the bnei yeshiva Rav Ashi, when they compiled the Gemara. And this is the first on that list. He has a Sukkah higher than 20, u'balamat, lemait goyva chalala michaf. He liked to lessen the gap inside, bring it down to within 20. And he places these items on the floor below to lift the floor a bit, bring it closer to the schach lehav amiyut. Why? Because realistically, he's not going to leave these things on the floor throughout the 7 days of Yom Tov. Because of monetary loss, it's not customary to use pillows, blankets, instead of flooring material. So although it's there now, it's going to be taken tomorrow. And therefore, it cannot be considered as part and parcel of the sukkah structure. In which case, we still treat the sukkah as a sukkah which is lamala michaf and it's possible. Continues the Gemara on the Avdal Damar Alf. Va'afakav debatlinu lekulu. And even if, say, he decided, you know, I'm going to be mevatel these items on that floor for the entire 7 day period of Sukkot. I want it to become part of the Sukkah. I want to leave it there throughout Yom Tov. It doesn't work. Mishum de batla da'atoy etzel kol adam. Because this fellow's mindset becomes nullified, becomes negated by the accepted practice, which is we don't use these types of household items in lieu of building material. And therefore, halachically, this fellow's bittul doesn't take effect. It's not effective, and we cannot consider it as part of the floor, in which case the gap between floor and schach is still greater than 20. Now, what if he actually used material which can theoretically be applied as building material? Tevin, use straw, which at times is used for building material, although it can be used for animal feed or for fuel. So this is a step down. Tevin ubitli. And he specifically said, I'm being mevatlet. I'm considering it part of the floor, at least for the entire 7 day period of Yom Tov. Have a mute. Then it's effective, because it's considered part of the floor. In which case, the floor has been lifted closer to the schach, and the sukkah is no longer higher than 20. So that's by Tevin, which has a building potential, the Koshkin offer, and certainly earth, which is closer in nature to the floor of the sukkah. It's truly building material. Offer a bit like, if he put some offer there to lift the level of the ground and he was mevatlet, of course it works. And now the sukkah is kosher. How about in the following case? He didn't actually say, I'm being mevatlet. Rashi learns bitle means, bepiv l'shiva. I'm being mevatlet. He's expressing the bitle verbally for the entire 7 days. What if he didn't do that? It's just assumptions. It's an unknown. Tevin, if you put some hay there, ve'ein osud lefanois. So you didn't specifically say I'm mevatlet, but we know for a fact that he is not planning on removing it. He's not going to use it throughout the 7 days. Does that work? Does that become part of the floor? You see, on the one hand, he didn't say bitl. On the other hand, we have potential building material placed there, tevin. It's lower in value than karim uksosos. It makes sense that it can be considered part of the sukkah. So what's the halacha here? Or in a case of the offer, he has dirt lying there. Again, He didn't express bittul. He didn't express his intention. Stam, it's totally unknown. We don't know whether or not he'll need it throughout Yom Tov. So we have two question marks. Number one, in the case of Tevin, which is lower in value than Karim Uksasis, it can potentially be employed as building material. Problem is, he didn't say anything. We know that he doesn't plan on removing it. So what is halacha there? Do we say that circumstantially this Tevin becomes part of the sukkah? Since we know that by default it's going to remain there throughout sukkahs, and we could consider it a part of the structure. Likewise, in the case of Ofer, which is even a step lower, it's even lower in value and is primarily designated for building material use. In this case, even by a stam, even when it's just unknown, perhaps it could become batel. So stam is really a step down from ein asod lafanoise, which means we know he's not going to remove it. He didn't say, but we know he's not going to remove it. Stam is an unknown. We have no idea what his plans are. But the fact is, it's offer, which is the floor material. So it's by very essence, perhaps it's batel, as long as it's there. So what happens in these cases? Says the Gemara, actually it's machlokes, whether or not we consider the tevin and the offer in these cases as part of the floor. Machlokes, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosi holds it's batel, Rabbanan hold, no, it's not batel. This is not as we find in a Mishnah, which is actually discussing the halachas of Tuma v'Tahara. Bar yishim al ohu tevin oitzreris, a room filled with hay or pebbles, which were piled up on top of a kazayas of a mace, which is metame be'oil. Now, if there's a empty airspace on top of the kazayas of the mace, between the kazayas and the ceiling above it, then that ceiling constitutes an oil over the mace, in which case the tumas ha-mace only extends upward until that ceiling and not beyond it, because it's sort of blocked in by that oil. That's only provided as a chalal of at least a tefach, a gap, an airspace between the tumah and the ceiling above it, and the oil hovering above the tumah. But suppose we have a tumah which is totally suffocated, it's buried beneath a pile of tevin or tzreiris. In this case, there is no chalal above the tumah, and the tumah just breaks right through it. It's called tumah ritzutza. It just protrudes right through the blockage and goes straight up. And anybody who happens to be directly above that line of tumah becomes tummy. So we have a bias which was totally filled with tevin or tzreiris from floor to ceiling. And beneath the tevin or tzreiris, we have a kazayis of mace. The question is, should we consider this house as completely blocked and filled, in which case there's no gap between tumah and oil? There's no halal, there's no empty space, in which case the suffocated tumah just breaks right through everything, goes all the way up to the rakia. Or shall we say, the house itself has empty space. It happens to be filled with these substances, tevin and tzreiris, which sooner or later might be removed. In which case, we consider the house as being technically, halachically, empty, and the tumah will only spread until the ceiling above it, which constitutes an oil. So which way is it? If this fellow was mevatel the material into the home, I'm leaving it there, I'm being mevatel it, then it's batel, in which case we view the room as though it's totally filled up and there's no tumas oil. Rather, the tumah buried beneath this material just breaks right through it. Tumah ritzutza oila adlerukia. We have a diyuk from this Mishnah. Bitlay in. Apparently only because he did bitl do we consider it as part of the structure. Loy bitlay loy, but if he hadn't been mavatal, the tevin and tzreiris into the home, it's not considered as part of the bias, in which case we consider the home as though it's empty. And the tumah just extends until the ceiling and no more. So that's the Tanakam. That's the Rabbonah. Even by tevin, by tzreiris, you have to be mavatal it for it to be considered part of the structure. And we learned in a brayse on this Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi, Omer, I disagree. Tevin and Afar, these things are natural building materials. And therefore, even without a bittul, it can be considered part of the structure. For instance, tevin, which potentially can be used for building material, ve'ein asa lefanoisei, in a case where we know with certainty that he doesn't plan on removing it from that home, it's bottle, even without a verbal bittul. By circumstance of its nature, the fact that it's tevin, it can be considered building material because it so happens to be it's going to stay there. Harihu, it has the same halacha as ka'afar stam, as dirt, which is even more regarded as building material, in which case, even if it's just unknown, we don't know whether or not he plans on removing it. We say both these things, tevin, where we know that he's not going to remove it, and afar, even if it's merely an unknown, but since it's afar, we say ubatl, these things are batl. In which case, tuma is like he buried tuma and just breaks right through as matam anything in a straight line from itself to the rakia. However, says Rabbi Yossi, in a case where we know he's going to remove it, then you can't consider it to be part of the house. Offer of osel afanoisei. But in a case where it's offer, but we know he's going to remove it sooner or later, hariyukas tam tevin v'le batel. In this case, it's not batel, and it's equated to tevin stam. Hey, where it's unknown, his plans are undefined. V'le batel, it's not batel in that case. So only when we have reason to believe that it's batel, for instance, hay, which we know is going to remain in place. So even though there wasn't an explicit bittul, but circumstantially we know it's going to remain here, it becomes batel, becomes part of the floor, becomes part of the home. And that's like afar, which is even a step lower. It's just afar. In that case, even if it's stam, we have no indication one way or the other whether or not he plans on leaving it there. In both cases, it's batel. But, says Rabbi Yossi, I would agree. In a case where it's tevin stam, hey, which is undefined, we don't know what he plans on doing with it. In that case, it can't be batel because perhaps he's going to use it for animal feed or for other purposes. That's not batel. That's like by offer, well, we know he's going to remove the offer, in which case we can't consider it as part of the structure because it's just here temporarily awaiting future use. Says the Gemara. Likewise, by the sukkah gvayil malam eshem. So if you put the karm ksasas on the floor below, it's not bottle in either case, even if you specifically express bittul. Bottle data itzel kaladam. By virtue of the value of that material, bittul cannot take effect. But in a case where he has tevin or offer, so if it was mevatlet, of course it works. But suppose there was no bittul, then that depends on the machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabban. So let's just summarize the machlekes. Okay, so we spoke about bittul with respect to sukkah, with respect to tumah, karma, ksasa, it certainly doesn't work. What about tevin, hay, or afar, or dirt? Let's go down the line. In the case where it's asid lefanoisi, he plans on removing these items, in all cases, there's no bittul. What about if it's stam, undefined, his plans are unknown. So if it's tevin, all agree it's not batel because tevin has other uses. Perhaps it's going to be used as animal feed, as fuel. Who says we should consider it as part of the floor? But in the case of afar, where by its very nature, we can't consider it as part of the floor. It's just naturally something which gravitates to the floor. It's considered part of the structure. In that case, we have machlokes. Rabbanan say, no, it's never batel until you mevatel it. Rabbi Yossi says, it's automatically batel. What about in a case where we know that he's not going to remove this item? Ein asel lefanoise. So by both tevin or afar, we have machlokes. Rabbanan say, it cannot be a batel unless he's mevatel beferish. Rabbi Yossi says, no. If it's ein asel lefanoise, we consider these things as part of the structure. And certainly all agree in a case where he's mevatel beferish, that bittul takes effect, and we consider the tevin v'kash part and parcel of the bayis, or in our case, part and parcel of the sukkah, in which case he's now lifted the floor to within the striking range of that schach, and the sukkah is kosher. Continues the Gemara. We have many more halachas to discuss. Suppose the sukkah was higher than 20. We have some low-hanging leaves and branches. Within 20 amma, is that going to lessen the height? Is that going to be machshir the sukkah? It depends. How many leaves you have? If the shade created by those low-hanging branches and leaves is greater than the sunlight which is allowed through them, then those leaves, those low-hanging branches, can be considered your schach. They're creating more shade than sunlight, in which case you can just ignore the schach which is above range and just use those branches and leaves which are within 20 am. Vim la psula, but if they cannot generate more shade than sunlight, then independently they can't be used. You need to use a schach which is above 20, which is possible. What about the opposite case? You have a sukkah which is 10 tfachim high, proper height, but we have some branches hanging into the 10 tfachim. V'hutz and yardin l'sech yud. What happens now? Savra v'ayla meima, v'ayla figured. Let's just compare the same formula, this time in the reverse. Im chamasam arumim tzilasam ksheira. Those low-hanging leaves produce more sunlight than shade, then we don't have to reckon with them. They're not considered tzchach, in which case they don't interfere with your sukkah. We could just ignore them. And you have a proper sukkah, ten tfachim high. Amalei Rava. Rava responds to Abaye. I realize that technically speaking, you're right, halachically speaking, these low-hanging branches are not really considered tzchach because they're not producing enough shade. But we have another problem. This sukkah is not really livable. It's uninhabitable. We have branches hanging within the ten tefach area. One doesn't live in a diras rucha, a place which is not really suitable for a dwelling. So on account of that problem, the sukkah would be possible. Some say it's only chatchila. In any case, you can't say it's a sukkah kshir. Continues the Gemara. Suppose you have a tall sukkah, above 20, and he'd like to lessen the height by doing the following. He built a platform, a sturdy platform within the sukkah, in order to lift the ground of the sukkah closer to the schach. Where did he place the itztabah? Kenega doifenem tzoy. So you'll notice the first diagram, the Gemara, that's the one of itztabah be'emtza. So we have a wall on the right, wall on the left, and a wall on the far side, three walls. And the itztabah has been built alongside the far wall. Alpnei kula, running along that wall, all the way from the right side of the sukkah to the left. V'yesh be'echshar sukkah. And that platform is large enough to be considered a shear of sukkah, 7 by 7 tefach. And it has three walls, because we have three walls surrounding it. Kshir. So the sukkah is kosher. Rashi has a chiddush. Not only is the surface on the itztabah kosher, because it's within 20 of the schach, it has three walls. Even the rest of the sukkah, the part that's off the platform, which is technically more than 20 amma to schach, is also kosher. Rashi says it's an extension of the sukkah kshira, and it's all kosher. The Ran disagrees. He says that's not considered the halacha of pesel hayitzim and sukkah discussed the Gemara later on. If you test, in this case, only the portion above the itztabah, which is within 20 amma to the schach, is kosher. Says the Gemara, what about umin atzad? If you built the itztabah off to the side, as described in the next diagram in the Gemara. So we have wall on the right, wall on the left, wall on the back, and the itztabah is running alongside the right wall and meeting the back wall as well. So the itztabah lifts the floor to within 20 of the schach. The problem is, he only has two walls. A sukkah needs at least three walls. So what's halach? Im yeish mitzvas istaba lekoisel. Dalad amas psulim. If the distance between the lip, the edge of the platform, to the far wall, is 4 amos, that's too far to connect, and it's possible because the istaba only has 2 walls. However, pachas me'arba amos kshera. If the distance between the istaba and the far wall is less than 4 amos, it's kasha. Why is it kasha? Reapply the concept of doifen akuma, bent wall. Let's take a look at Rashi who explains this for us. 12 lines from the bottom. Says Rashi in Divrei Maskil Min Atzad, Kigoyin im bona istaba al pnei echad medevin atzadim. He built this platform alongside one of the walls. Im yeish mitzvas istaba v'lekois l'asheni. If the distance between istaba and the far wall is 4 amos, psua dali hukshru b'istaba zu elashteit fanis. Because we only have 2 good walls next to the istaba. Oy soy she samach min atzad, one alongside its right. V'em tzoy and the one on the center. 2 walls is not enough. However, pachas medaldam is kshira. Suppose the distance between istava and the wall to the left is less than 4 amos, then it's fine. Sha'afu hukshal yada. Because the far wall has not become kosher by way of the istava. Because it connects to the platform. We bring it closer to the platform. The kaimel anochel meshim is Sinai. We learn from halochel meshim is Sinai. We employ the following method. We bend the wall. We virtually bend, we bend the far wall over to the itztaba. So halacha is, if it's within 4 amos, we're allowed to do that. We can bend that wall and bring it over to the itztaba. V'royin, how does this work? Says Rashi, we virtually visualize as follows. V'royin schache elyon ha-mechubra l'doifan ha-rochik ki'ilu hu min ha-doifan atzmi. We treat the schach, which is next to that far wall, so we have a wall on the right, a wall on the back, and a wall on the left. The itztaba is running along the right and center wall. The gap between itztaba and the wall to the left is less than 4 amos. We take that wall, and we view it as though it bends along with the schach. So that schach is considered as a continuous entity with that wall. It bends over till it gets to the itztaba. Now the itztaba has 3 walls. V'okum adz keneged svas ha-itztaba. V'kon moide dines goven mustatze itztaba l'mala. So once the daifen, akuma, arrives at the itztaba, it's within 20 yama. Now, the istva and the schach is within 20 yama. And the istva is surrounded by all the walls, and it's kosher. Va'ava bishem metachtav nimshach klavi chutz. Now, although the wall ends up at the istva, but it extends outward, and it ends up all the way at the far end of the sukkah, where it's going to be more than 20 yama from the schach, no problem. Hoyel v'roisha in the kolah. Since we don't consider it as though it ends there, the roisha, the top part of that doifen, of that wall, continues on through the schach all the way to the itzba, so we view it as though it's here. In which case, this is the height we have to reckon with, and here it's within 20. And since the itzba lessened the height from floor to ceiling, the doifen as well is now serving an area which is less than 20. So again, the case we had, wall on the right, wall on the left, wall on the back. He built the istaba alongside one of the walls. So it has 2 walls to speak for it, but the third wall is beyond. It's within 4 amis. Then we can go ahead and bend it over. Doifen akuma. We view the wall and the schach above it as one continuous entity. It bends and bends until it gets to the istaba. And it can be applied to the itztaba right here. And since the itztaba is within 20 to the schach, the itztaba is kosher. Continues the Gemara. Maika mashmon. So what are you teaching me here? Damrina doifen akuma? Do we apply the concept of a crooked wall? Tanino, we're going to have in the Mishnah. Ba yesh nifchas v'sichal gabav. you had a ceiling which developed a hole, a collapsed ceiling. V'sichach al gabav, he placed some schach onto that hole. Can one use that as a sukkah? We have schach, we have walls. So it depends how close the schach is to the walls. Im yesh mina sichach, mina kois la sichach, dald amus. If distance between schach and walls is 4 amos or more, that's too far to connect psula. Hapach mekan kshera. But if it's less than 4 amos, you can view the walls of that home as though they bend and are considered one continuous entity with the ceiling until they reach the schach. Now the schach has walls. That's Deifin HaKoma. It's already taught in the Mishnah. So what's the chiddush here in the Gemara? Mal d'temen, perhaps I would think, ha, samhu d'chazi l'deifin. Over there it works because the house walls, a chazi l'deifin, is suitable to be used as a wall of the sukkah because they're lower than 20. So halachically, there's nothing wrong with them. The problem is they're too far from that schach. So d'eifin HaKoma brings them closer. Aval hochad lechazi l'doifin, as opposed to our sukkah, which is higher than 20, in which case the walls are not kosher for sukkah use. Emily, perhaps you can't bend them, ply them, and bring them over to be machshir the itztava. You're dealing with a wall which is currently unsuitable for sukkah use. So perhaps it doesn't work. Kamash malon, yeah, chiddush is it works even in this case, since by bending it, you've created an area surrounded by walls which are less than 20, because the itzba area is less than 20. So since you apply the walls to the itzba, now the walls are considered less than 20 with respect to the itzba area. That's why it works. Next halacha, ha'isa gavoya mechaf am, sukkah was above 20. Ubana itzba b'am tz'isa, he built a platform smack in the middle, not near any wall. Can we connect the walls to the itzba? If from the lip of the istaba there is a distance to the walls on all sides, a distance which is 4 amos or greater, psula, because you can't connect those walls to the istaba. Pachas ma'arba amos ksher, but if it's less than 4 amos, it's kosher. We apply deifin akuma on all sides. We bend those walls, bringing over to the itztava, in which case the itztava is surrounded by 4 walls. My kamashman, what are you teaching me here once again? Tabrim doifin akuma, we apply the concept of doifin akuma, ainuach. Isn't this case an exact replica of the previous one? What's the chiddush? There is a chiddush. Mal d'tema, perhaps I would think, doifin akuma meruch achas amrinan. You can apply the concept of doifin akuma in one direction. So you have something to work with. You have a properly constructed sukkah missing one wall, okay. Bend that wall, bring him over. Aval kol ruach v'ruach loy, but perhaps you can't do it in all directions. Because Deifin HaKoma means I'm bending the wall to the sukkah. There's nothing to start off with, there's nothing to work with. You have a platform, mold, no way. Who says you can create a sukkah by applying Deifin HaKoma on all 4 sides? Kamash b'lan l'chadishes, you can. Suppose we have a very short sukkah, less than 10 tefachim high. He'd like to fix up that sukkah. How? By digging out a pit within his sukkah. He made some sort of dugout within the sukkah to complete the 10 tefach height. So suppose you have mechitzas that are 8 tefachim high. This fellow digs out 2 tefachim from the floor below to complete 10 tefach. The problem is the pit is not necessarily near the walls. So can the walls connect to the pit? It depends how close they are. Im yesh misfas chakak ulekoisel gimel tefachim psula. If the distance between the chakak, the pit, and the wall is 3 tefachim or more, it's possible. It's too far removed, it doesn't connect. Pachas mishlosh tefachim kshera. But if it's less than 3 tefachim, it's fine. Says Rashi up on top. Pachas mishlosh kelavot. Halacha Mesh Sinai. We have halacha called Lavot. Anything between 3 is considered one and connected. V'chashvinilei, we treat it ki'ilu hachakak Lavot. Umagia, the koisel, we consider it as though the pit continues on and is considered one continuous entity with a wall alongside it. The word Lavot, says Rashi, sniff, extension. This is a universal concept of love, which means an extension, a continuous entity. If the gap is less than 3, if the hole in the wall is less than 3, etc., etc., it's considered like non-existent. We consider the wall as all continues right over that hole. In this case, the pit connects with the wall like next to it because it's viewed as one continuous entity. And the chakak now is surrounded by walls. Rashi points out that the chakak itself has to be large enough to accommodate roishe ruve v'shulchanoi, which means 7x7 tfachim, and only then can we say that it will connect to the walls alongside it. And now the chakak is surrounded by a full machitza of 10 tfachim. Says, well, I don't understand. Here you're telling me lover is the criteria. Earlier you told me you could connect the wall to the istaba, for instance, if it's within 4 amis, via the Daifin Akuma method. So it's a Ramayishna. Why this discrepancy? Ha, some over there by Daifin Akuma, you say the amis pachas marba amis. If it's less than 4 amis, it's close enough to connect. Umayishna hacha the amis pachas mishlesha tfachim. Whereas over here, you're insisting on less than 3 tfachim. Why not 4 amis? It's a big difference, says the Gemara. Ha, some in the first case, the Isil Daifin, where the wall is in existence. We have walls. Problem is they're too large, they're too tall. But we have a wall to work with. So then we could say, Pachas Marba Amis Saga. If it's within 4 Amis, that's okay, because you could just bend that wall over to the Itztva, to give it the wall. As opposed to Hach, in our case where the wall is below 10 Tfachim, it's not considered a wall. A wall, a mechitza, in Kol HaTorah Kula needs to be at least 10 tefachim high, as we're going to see by Hashem and tomorrow's daf. These walls surrounding the chakak are merely 8 tefachim high. They're not considered, not reckoned with. You don't have anything to work with to begin with. Hachal Shavi L'Doifin, you're trying to create a wall from a 9 wall. Pachas Mishleish HaTefachim in Iloilo. So if it's within 3 tefachim to the chakak, in which case you can view the wall and the chakak as one continuous entity, in which case you've created a mechitza of 10 tefachim, you're okay, Eloi. But if it's too far apart, if it's beyond 3 tefachim, and it's not considered as one continuous, uninterrupted entity, Eloi, then it doesn't work. So in reality, we really have 3 levels of doifin, because there's a kasha here. The Gemara earlier referred to the tall wall as a deficient wall. Now we contrasted the tall sukkah to the bayis shenefchas, and we said, well, a tall sukkah is worse than a bayis, which has properly sized walls, just too far from the sach, and have to be brought closer, whereas the sukkah l'mal ma'estrim is lechazi l'daifin, the walls are not really suitable for daifin because they're too tall. So there we considered it a non-wall. And here the Gemara is saying, no. Walls which are too tall are considered daifin. And therefore we allow it to be bent over if it's within 4 amps. Whereas the walls which are too short are considered non-entities. You have to create something from nothing. So if you can connect it to the chakak, it's within 3 tfach. Love it, that works. Otherwise not. So what are those tall walls? Are they walls or not? Here we say they're not, and now we're not. And on a base, we consider them to be walls. The answer is, they're different levels. To a certain degree, a wall which is above 20 is not really suitable, halachically, for the sukkah. It's too tall. That's what the Gemara meant in Amar Aleph. In contrast to the Kaisli Habayis, which are properly sized and roi for sukkah as is, the tall sukkah's walls are not. So they're a step down from the bayis. And perhaps you can't say Daifin Akuma, the chiddush is you can. Come on the bayis, went down a step lower. We're speaking about walls which are less than 10 tefachim. It's not that they're oversized, they're undersized, they're nothing. They're a non-entity. So you're trying to make a non-wall into a wall. You can only do it through lovet, by really connecting it to the pit. And now you could consider it as a 10 tefach wall. In contrast to the oversized walls, which are considered doifen. They have 10 tefachim, they're more than 10 tefachim. So you have what to work with. And therefore, in contrast to the short wall, they are considered something. They're reckoned with. In which case, you can employ the concept of doifen akuma, as long as they're within 4 amos of the Yachshar Sukkah, just bend them over, bring them over, and connect them to the Sukkah. Says the Gemara, what about in the following case? You have a Sukkah taller than 20. Ubana ba amud, shu gavoya asar tefachim. This fellow inserted a post, a solid post, into the Sukkah, 10 tefachim high. V'yesh bo Yachshar Sukkah. Where on the surface, the top surface of that amud, you have a sheer sukkah, 7x7 tefachim. Now, the top surface of this amud is close enough to the schach. It's within 20, and it has the shiurim, 7x7. So, Rabbi Lameim, Rabbi figured, it's kosher. Good asik, mechitzas. You can employ the concept of good asik, lochem eshmer sinai. Good means slice away. Slice away these sides of the amud. Imagine as if you're slicing off the outer layer, the outer surface of the post. Good. Asik, lift it up. Mechitzasa. And create the mechitzas around the top. Reb Chaim Brisk explains that the way it works is as follows. We have a mechitza separating oneself from Rishus Rabbim. You've created an enclosure. You've separated yourself from the street. You've created a Rishus HaYachad. Says Reb Chaim. In the case of an Amud, you've done the same thing. You're sitting on top of a post which is lifted 10 tefach off the ground. You've separated yourself. You've created a Havdalah between yourself and the street. That's also considered a Rishus HaYachad. So when we say good Asim Chetzasa, it's a concept. We mean to say that we view the area on top of the post as though it's surrounded by mechitzas, protected in its own enclave, because he's lifted 10 off the ground. That's a lochem eshmer sinai, of course, but the concept is separation. Being lifted, being moved, is that as though you're being surrounded and protected by mechitzas. That's a lochem that we apply by Shabbos. On top of that post is considered a Rishus HaYachad. Is that a bayit? Same thing regarding Sukkah. Let's consider the area on top of that post as though it's surrounded by mechitzes. And since it's within 20 to the schach, that surface is kosher to be used for a Sukkah. Amalei Rava, no, you can't do that. Sukkah is very, very different than Shabbos. By Shabbos, all you're trying to do is accomplish a separation. That's considered a separation. But by Sukkah, you need to create a place of dwelling in Mokum Dir. You have to feel it. You have to see the walls. But even mechitzes hanikaris, you need recognizable, visible, tangible mechitzes surrounding your sukkah. You're creating a new entity. You're creating an environment, a sukkah. But like, here you don't have it. Therefore, says Rav, in this case, it would be possible. So let's just summarize all the halachas that we learned. In the following cases, the sukkah would be kosher. So we have 5 cases involving a sukkah above 20. In the first case, you have some hutzen branches, low-hanging branches within 20. Could that be used to be mamait the height of the sukkah? Well, if those branches are plentiful, they're shade-creating branches, tzlosam, rubim, chamasam, certainly, then the sukkah is fine. In the case, we built an istaba alongside the middle wall. That istaba is now surrounded by 3 sides with walls. The sukkah is kosher. An istaba off to the side. And it's within 4 amis of that wall to the distance, then we bend that wall over through Deif and Akuma, we connect it to the Itzba, and it's kosher. If the Itzba is smack in the middle of the Sukkah, nowhere near any of the walls, so it's within 4 amis to the walls in all directions, once again, we can apply Deif and Akuma, and the Sukkah is kosher. If the Sukkah was shorter than 10 tefachim, and he built a chakak in the middle of the Sukkah, to complete the shear, if it's within 3 tefachim to the walls, a sukkah is kosher. We have 2 cases which were discussed by Abaye v'Rav. We have a sukkah which is 10 tefachim high, and there's some hutzen protruding downward into the 10 tefach living quarters. and those chutzin are insignificant. They're not really shade creators. Abaye figured it's kosher. Says Rava, it's a diras ruch and it's possible. In the most recent case we discussed, a sukkah which was above 20, and there was an amud right in the middle, amud which is 10 tefachim high, and there is a sheer sukkah above that amud, 7x7, Abaye figured, that top surface is considered as though surrounded by mechitzes, and it's kosher. Rava says, no. By sukkah, you need visible mechitzes to create your sukkah. These are virtual mechitzes. You can't create a sukkah by doing so. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan Noatz Arba Kundesin. Suppose he positioned four poles, four beams, on the ground, V'sichal Gabon, and added Tzchach onto those poles. We have no walls. Just one pole in each corner. Rabbi Yaakov Machshir, he says it's fine. We consider it as though it's a kosher sukkah. V'chachamim Paisim, I say it's no good. Now, where was the sukkah positioned? We have a discussion between Tomerim. Amar Funa, Machlekes Asfas Agag. This discussion only pertains to a sukkah, which was at the edge of the rooftop. It was there a derech to build their sukkahs up on the roof? So if the sukkah is positioned at the edge of the roof, here, Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. Why? Because he applies the concept of good asik mechitzasa. The Rabbi Yaakov savar, amrinan good asik mechitzasa. We slice away, we lift up the mechitza of the home right beneath that sukkah. We view the home wall as though it continues, extends upward alongside the sukkah, and the sukkah is surrounded by mechitzas. We can't apply the concept here. Why? Because, as we said earlier, virtual mechitzes don't suffice for sukkah. But if you position that sukkah right in the middle of the rooftop, nowhere near the edge, so you can't really utilize the mechitzes habayis. You have a flat surface, four poles, and tzchach, all agree it's puzzle. Poles don't create a mechitz. Let's go over to Rashi, off to the left. Machlek is asfas agag. The mechitzes habayis tachteo, keneged ben akundesin, and therefore it works. So you have a rooftop. You have the kundesin right at the edge of the rooftop, in which case the mechitza beneath it. Mechitzas habayis is viewed as always extend upward, and it gives you the mechitza for the sukkah as well. V'yikilamim a good asik. Says Rashi, what do you mean? We just said, Rabbi just told us, sukkah needs tangible mechitzas. V'achal yamrin on the beinon mechitzas nikaris. Here says Rashi, at least according to Rabbi Yaakov, it's kasha because we don't need tangible mechitzas. Why? Why not? Explains Tosis. Here is different than the case of the amud, where it was just a solid block without real mechitzas. No tangible mechitzas there to use. Here, since the sukkah is at the edge of the rooftop and the mechitzas of the bayis are visible inside the home, so technically they're functioning mechitzas. They're recognizable mechitzas. Here, says Rabbi Yaakov, it's better than the previous case. Here we can treat them as mechitzas nikaris. So we take those mechitzas, which are functioning, which are visible in the home, we extend them upward. We view the rooftop as though it's an extension of the home, so to speak. It's an extended service area of the home. And now the sukkah on the rooftop is surrounded by mechitzas nikaris and its kosher. So we had a machlekes in the case of dalet kundesin, with tzchach on top of it. Rabbi Yaakov says kosher, chum say pasul. We have machlekes tanoim, how to interpret this machlekes. Rav Huna maintains that the poles themselves don't provide anything. They're just undersized poles. They're not mechitzais. The only way it's kosher is because it's asfas agag. And we're going to utilize the mechitzas abayis. I view them as though extend upward and surround a sukkah. Rabbi Yaakov says, you can do that. Chacham say, no. Even here, they're not really tangible enough. The fact is, they're downstairs, not upstairs, and they cannot be applied to the sukkah. Continues the Gemara of Nachman Amar. He says the machlekes applies as follows: Be'em sagag machlekes. The discussion between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chacham is referring to a case where the sukkah is right in the middle of the rooftop. You can't apply the mechitzas habayis. So why is it kosher? Rabbi Yaakov holds those poles are enough to provide mechitzas for your sukkah. Rashi explains since each one of those posts can be viewed as though it's a corner post going in either direction, like an L-shaped post. So since the sukkah is surrounded by four of these L-shaped posts, that's called Shem Arba Mechitzes. It's viewed as a full enclosure. We find this concept in Erevin. So although they're just minimal mechitzes, just four corners, but since each one is going in both directions, like an L, so we consider the entire area as if it's surrounded by mechitzes, and the space between the poles, like a doorway, like an entranceway, and Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. Chacham said you can't apply this type of mechitza to sukkah. So that's where the machlokes applies, in the case where you have no mechitzas habayis to work with. Well, you have all the four poles. Rabbi Yaakov says it's enough. Chacham says it's not enough. Now, Iboilu, the Gemara is shyly regarding Rav Nachman, the Emtza Gag machlokes. This question applies in the middle of the roof. The question is, can we not use those poles? Aval asfas agag divrei hakol ksher, but if it's at the end of the roof, or at the edge, near the mechitzas habayis, perhaps according to Rav Nachman's view of things, all would agree, even the Chacham would agree, it's kasha because you can go ahead and extend the mechitzas habayis upward and consider it to be part of the sukkah. Is that the pshat? Or perhaps, bein bezu, or bein bezu machlekes. The machlekes applies in the case where it's in the middle of the roof. Can we use those poles as mechitzas? And likewise, machlokes applies at the edge of the roof. Can we use the mechitzas habayis? Teiku, we leave it unresolved. It's not clear what Rav Nachman meant. So once again, according to Rav Huna, the discussion revolves around mechitzas habayis. The sukkah is at the edge of the roof. Rav Yaakov says, you can bring the mechitzas habayis upward. Chacham says you can't. But if it's anywhere else, be'emtza agag, on the ground below, all agree it's possible poles are useless. Rav Nachman maintains, poles are the machlekes. Rav Yaakov maintains you can use the poles as machitzes. Chacham say it's insufficient. We're unsure, according to Rav Nachman, what their opinion would be regarding machitzes habayis. Perhaps even the Rabbanon would agree. If it's in a place where you can use machitzes habayis, it's kosher, we're not sure. Maybe we're going to have a kosher or a brayso on Rav Huna. The brayso will clearly tell us that according to Rav Yaakov, you can use the poles. It's not because the mechitzas habayis are providing. Even if you can't use mechitzas habayis, poles enough are sufficient. Not dal kondesin baritz. He planted the four poles in the middle of the ground. V'sichach al gabon, v'sichach on top. Rav Yaakov ma'achshir, v'chamem and po'islin. Says the Gemara v'aretz, tike emtza gangdomi. Eretz is just plain flat surface. It's like the middle of the roof. Become machsher Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. To yufta the Rav Huna, to yufta. This is a kosher, a refutation of Rav Huna. It's pretty clear. And the reason why Rabbi Yaakov is machsher is because poles are sufficient. Says the Gemara, can we ask another kosher on Rav Huna as well? Rav Huna maintained that when it's al svas agag, where you're going to try to use the mechitzas habayis, we have machlekes. So Chacham say you can't use it. Perhaps this price will disprove that point as well. Not only is it going to prove to us, not only did it prove to us that the discussion revolves around using poles. Rabbi Yaakov says good, Chacham say no good. That in itself was one kasha on Rav Huna who didn't agree with this concept of using poles. Void additionally, it would seem from the price of Be'emtza who the pliki. Machlokes only applies in the middle of the roof. We're trying to use the poles. That's where Yaakov says it's good. Chacham say no. Aval asfas agag divrei hakol ksher. But we have idea from here, apparently. If it's anywhere else, if it's asfas agag, where you can use the mechitzas habayis to surround your sukkah, all agree it's fine. That's another kasha on Rav Huna, who maintained that according to Chacham it's not fine. Leima to yave to yiftir Rav Huna betarati. Perhaps we have a double kasha on Rav Huna. A. We see clearly that poles alone are sufficient according to Rabbi Yaakov. And B, perhaps, in a case where mechitzas habayis are applicable, even the Chacham agree that's fine. Whereas Rav Huna maintains, poles are never enough according to anybody, and mechitzas habayis are not good according to Rabbanon. Amlech Rav Huna, no, Rav Huna will respond, I understand that the first kasha was a strong kasha. You've proven to me that poles are good according to Rav Nachman. Okay, I agree with that. That's a good kasha. But I disagree regarding the second kasha. You know what, perhaps, even when it's at the edge of the rooftop, Chacham would say it's no good. pligi be'emtza agag. The mechalikas applies in the middle of the roof, whether or not poles are good. V'od in asfas agag. The same machlokes or similar machlokes would apply at the edge of the roof. But the Chacham would say, you cannot use the mechitzas abayis, just as I had maintained. Why then does the Brisa present the machlokes as discussing be'emtza agag, which would perhaps imply that when it's asfas agag and you have the mechitzas abayis, it's good l'kuli alma? No. Perhaps even asfas agag, it's a problem. The reason why we discussed Be'emtza, because that's a greater chiddush according to Rabbi Yaakov. Lo idea koicha de Rabbi Yaakov. It's trying to highlight the chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov. That filo Be'emtza gag. I mean, machshad, even midroof, he's okay with it, because poles are considered mechitzes. So in summary, we had a case where he was knots, four poles, and he puts chach on top of it. Rabbi Yaakov says it's fine. Chacham say it's possible. Rav Huna's approach was that the machlokes applies b'sfas hagag, where you can apply the mechitzas habayis for that sukkah. Rabbi Yaakov says, good asak mechitzasa, just lift the mechitzas habayis upward. Chacham says, you can't do that, because it's not visible, it's not tangible enough in the sukkah. But if it's b'emtza hagag, where you don't have the mechitzas habayis to help you, all agree it's possible. Poles, they're not sufficient mechitzas. Rav Nachman maintains, the machlokes is whether poles are sufficient mechitzas. B'emtza hagag machlokes. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kasha. Chacham say it's possible. What about if it's at the edge of the roof? Certainly Rabbi Yaakov would say it's kasha. We had a shaila. Tan Rabbana knots arbo kundes baretz. Here's the halach. So he planted four of these poles baretz. V'sichich al gaban, put tzchach on top of it. Rabbi Yaakov oimer, it's fine. Royin, we view, we visualize. We evaluate the thickness of those posts. Suppose we're speaking about even round posts. If there's enough material on those posts, that should you choose to even out the roundness, the curvature, and then carve out the middle to create an L-shaped post facing in two directions. So after carving, theoretically, it would leave over enough post material to have a tevach facing in either direction. I say each one of those four corners will have a tevach facing in either direction. Halachically, we treat them as a jumud. Diyoy means two mud is like an amud. A double post. So each corner is like a double post facing in either direction. And therefore the area within it is considered surrounded and protected by mechitzas. But if there isn't enough wood material in those posts to theoretically carve out this L-shaped, two-directional post, it can't be treated as such. The diyumdim of a sukkah are sufficient if they're a tefach facing in either direction, in which case the area within it is considered to be enclosed. Rashi calls it, the Gemara in Ervin calls it Shem Arba Mechitzis. You have a resemblance of four Mechitzis. Because in either one of those four corners, you have an L-shaped post. That's never enough. A sukkah has to have proper Mechitzis. Ah, Sheyu, Shtaim Kilchasim. Only times it works is if you have two full-fledged Mechitzis. One Mechitza here, one Mechitza here. Ur Shlishis, Afilu Tefach. And the third one could even be a Tefach in size. We learn this from Malach HaMesh Sinai. The third one doesn't have to be fully sized. Even a tefach is enough. But just posts, just corners, that's never enough for a sukkah. Okay, time for a quick chazor of today's daf. We discussed many halachas regarding a tall sukkah, a short sukkah. First, we started with a tall sukkah. If he's going to put karam eksosis to lessen the height, it doesn't work. But if he's going to use tevin or offer, if he's mevadlet there, certainly it works. Otherwise, we have a machlekes. We had a sukkah which was higher than 20 amma, with some hutzen coming down, and they create much shade. That's kosher. If he built an itztaba alongside the middle wall, that's kosher. It's on the side, which is within 4 ammas to the far wall, it's fine. Deifin akuma. Itztaba smack in the middle, within 4 ammas in all directions, that's fine as well. If it's less than 10 tfachim, and he did a chakak in the middle of the sukkah, which is within 3 tfachim, of the wall, that's fine. According to Rava, you have a sukkah, which is merely 10 tefachim, and you have some hutzin coming down, it's a diras shrucha, and it's unsuitable for a sukkah. Likewise, says Rava, if you have a sukkah too tall and you have an amud in the middle, you can't view the area on top of the amud as though it's surrounded by mechitzes. Although halachically, when it comes to Shabbos, we consider it surrounded by sukkah. You need more than that. You need a makam dira. So Rava is like following his shita. You need to create a makam dira, a proper place of residence for sukkah. In the case where he is not, dal kandesin baretz, and topped it off with some schach. Rabbi Yaakov says kasher. Chacham say no. A sukkah needs to be surrounded by full-fledged mechitzes. Shtayim kil chosan, or shlishis, afilu tefach. Haslacha rabim, kol tov to you.